Matt and Alex.
Come on.
You want the rugs?
You want the rugs?
On Triple J.
Well, here we are. And like, as what has happened over probably the last few months, pre-7 a.m. in this particular podcast, you'll be hearing us speaking the truth. We got sucked into the conspiracy theories again after a story about braids in jars. So you can enjoy that for those of you joining us via ISDN line from New Munchen. You'll know that we're talking about you. We know you're down there.
We know you're there. We are not keeping your secret very well, we have to admit. So we don't blame you if you don't want to give us too much information about where you are and what you're doing. But just know that we know, and we're cool with it. So there you go.
So no need for secrets.
Also, maybe you absolutely hate the first part of this show, basically because you enjoy walking around with your eyes closed. And that's fine with us as well. If you don't want to get woke, then we won't woke you.
Yeah, so just skip the first little bit of the podcast, but then you get some excellent stuff, including a very nice lady, Ash Brennan, who came in, been to Beijing and London for the Olympics. Matt O'Kine, did you ever want to go to the Olympics?
Mate, you know I did.
Yeah, me too.
You know I wanted to represent Ghana in the swimming.
Matt tried to fill out all the forms.
I applied for a passport.
Get naturalized.
Still haven't even got it.
No,
that was 4 years ago.
That was all. I remember when you first started.
Run away with my money.
When you first started this show, it would have been 2014. We were thinking for you as part of the radio. Let's get Matt to Rio 2016.
Oh, we were too.
Didn't happen in the end. But there's a little insight for you. We had meetings where we said, "Yeah, that'd be awesome." If Matt was training for swimming, we got him the Ghanaian passport via his, you know, father's heritage. And then we broadcast a show from Rio as you're going to compete
that
in the swimming.
The
how good would that have been?
Yeah, but was not meant to be.
Damn it. Oh, well.
2020 Tokyo.
Hey!
At the ripe old age of 35.
Well, let's do it. Lock that one in. All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us. And we will catch you in another podcast soon.
Bye-bye.
Matt and Alex are with you. If you're watching breakfast television, you see sunrise. Their motto, wake up with friends. Matt and Alex on Triple J this morning, our motto, woke up with friends, because we have been perusing news.com overnight, who says the scientists have come up with a theory that we could all just be brains kept inside a jar living in a fake reality. Now, Matt and I are not unsure as to which type of jar we're going with. It could be the reason why jars are making a resurgence in the small cafe world. Juices from jars.
Could be a peanut butter jar.
Could be. The plastic variety. I had a beer in a jar the other night.
You did not.
Had a beer in a jar.
You did not.
Went to a place. They served me a beer in a jar. No handle. Just sipping over the little rims of the screw
much,
top.
How much?
Well, you got to pay for the jar, obviously.
Did you hit double didge?
No, I didn't hit the double
didge.
The jar was too small.
God.
But there I was, sipping out of the jar.
What a stupid thing.
And then I coughed up a brain. Well, not in that bit, but we are trying to get your theories this morning, because if you have a theory, it could make the news.
Wait. Why is this story being picked up?
Yeah, why is this theory being picked up? Yeah. I don't know.
Does the scientist have any backing?
Well, no, it's only a brain. Well, we don't have a back.
No, I'm saying, is there any proof?
Oh, I don't know. No, but I'm not sure why news.com would publish this article, because then suddenly, you know, their stories about Scarlett Johansson's six most revealing outfits straight after having a baby. I mean, if her body isn't real, there's no reason for the article.
You'd have to wonder whether maybe sleeping is just, you know, someone disconnecting from VR, the VR that we are probably all living in. I always believe that time doesn't actually exist. It's something that we always use to grasp reality, and therefore everything is happening all at once. And never at all.
James from Bendigo, what's your theory? Oi, James. All right, we'll try him on this one.
Plug your brain into the jar, James.
Get with us, James. What's your theory, James?
Yeah, so you know when you walk into a room and you forget what you were doing, like just clean forget what you were doing?
Mm.
Yeah, an alien's actually erased your memory, just short-term memory, because you've seen an alien.
Oh, okay, so they've been in the room as well.
Yeah.
And they've been like, oh no, James is here.
Yeah.
Get the so little...
I don't know whether you walk in on like a little alien meeting or whatever, but yeah, they erase your short-term memory. And then you just go, what was I just doing? And then, yeah.
I believe that these aliens must also come from an ice planet because the aliens seem to hang out in my fridge a fair bit because that's where I opened the fridge and I'm like, what the hell was I doing here? So do you think that they get into our fridges and that's where they go do to keep their bodies sort of cool like their home planet?
Yeah, they must do that.
Do you think that they are living all and around us right now?
Yeah, they definitely are. They're just around the corner.
They're always around the corner.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good theory, James. Appreciate it. We've also got Joe from Machin's Beach. Morning to you, Joe.
Septatronics here. Good morning to you.
Hey, Septatronics. I beg your pardon. I'm using your correct title now. What's your theory?
Well, human beings are a multidimensional being living in a multidimensional universe.
Well, yes. I mean, there's already sort of three dimensions discussed. Fourth, if you want to talk about time.
While we're all here in this strong community, there's different levels of consciousness that we experience during the time, which is all sacred, always sacred.
When did you first come up with this theory, Joe?
I'm a free spirit, so I come up with theories like every moment, you know.
Does each new theory sit next to as an equal to the last theory, or does each new theory replace the last one and become the new truth?
You know, you come and you go, you know. Thoughts come and go too, but you're not the thoughts in your head. You're the actions you make, I believe.
So how does a free spirit like you fit into society as a norm? Are you able to discuss these things openly with, you know, people at work?
I find lots of good friends to talk with about it deeply.
Okay, so what do you think is real? Or does real exist?
Well, Sanskrit word for reality is our word for hell, pretty much.
Right. So we're all in hell.
Oh, not yet necessarily. We think we're in heaven, but we're living in hell. Until we rise up in love, we don't yet to experience the fruits of love or whatever we want to call it.
But is love real?
Love at first sight. Love, it can be described in many forms, but, you know, you can't see it really, I believe, until
it happens.
Thank you, Joe.
Dude, this is one perfect day.
Good to get a deep thinker on the radio. Appreciate it, mate. We'll catch you later.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
Glorious Heights is the new album for Montaigne. When they die young. On her debut, Montaigne's soaring vocals are at once earnest, empowering and emotional, punctuating the 80s-inspired synths and playful piano lines with a distinct pop bent. Glorious Heights by Montaigne, our feature album on Triple J.
Oh, yes, and who better to review Montaigne's work than dentist Ghanaian Australian man, 60-something years old.
Well, you don't know your dad's actual age?
Well, he's always kept it a secret as his youthful looks.
Well, he looks 32, but let's welcome him to the radio right now. Mac O'Kine, g'day, Mac.
Good day. How are you going?
Good.
So good. How are you all?
Oh, great. Now, Dad, I wasn't going to talk about this on radio, but last time we were hanging out in Rainbow Beach, Dad decided to give me some tips on how I should save my hair.
Oh. Mac, have you gone through a similar thing?
No, I think he does the right thing and not worry too much. He could keep his hair over a long period.
Of course, because stress is something that does, you know, lead to losing the hair follicles.
Dad was whipping out the Vaseline oil. He was saying, hey, you know, if you rub this through your head, it might save a few of those strands. I was like, oh, no!
Well, I thought...
Hair tonic.
That's what I use. Old snake oil through the tips there. Well, I thought your hair is acquired through your mother's father.
Yeah, so I don't know what was going on there, but not good enough.
I think he got his from his mother's.
Yeah.
Yeah, because well, his uncle is also losing his hair.
Oh, look, you're just shaming the family, mate.
Well, it's not about that. Mac, you've been, last time I saw you, you were sporting a very nice bowler hat. Maybe that's something Matt could look into.
Yeah, but that is the best thing to do if you can't. I mean, I hardly cut my hair. The last I cut my hair would be about 15 years ago.
Yeah, I remember you used to do. You used to cut your own hair. Just the
Do.
Two mirrors set up.
I've never been to a barber.
Ever?
Never, ever.
How about that?
There you go.
Use a mirror, just like we use dental mirror. You know, you can see the back. I mean, and two mirrors, one at the back and one at the front.
Have you ever, I mean, you're a dentist as well, Mac. Have you ever never been to a dentist? You've always done your own?
I've never been to a dentist before.
What, really?
Yeah, I just look and treat myself.
Really?
Yes. Oh, when I was a student, I had some gum problem and I had a surgery on my gum.
But other than that, you're like the doctor in the movie that removes his own bullets, you know, just
but
a hardcore.
That's the last time somebody else has had a look in my mouth.
All right.
Well, look.
Text us where the last time someone's had a look at your mouth, 0439 757 555.
We're here to chat about Montaigne, Dad. We're going to play a song by her now.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to come back with you to find out what you thought of the album, Montaigne. It's our feature album this week, Glorious Heights. Here it is, a track for you now. It is called I Am Behind You. And it is here for you on Thursday morning. Hope you're well. You're with Matt and Alex.
Jay, there it is, I Am Behind You by Montaigne, off our feature album this week, Glorious Heights, by the very talented youngster who's popping out her first album. And now, we're not sparing any feelings here with Mac O'Kine. First album in, it's not, you can't go out first ball in backyard cricket. Mac O'Kine, going to be reviewing it for you right now. What did you think, Mac, of the album?
What I think is Triple J has done a very good job by unearthing her.
Oh, really?
Oh, that's
nice.
Yeah,
she was Triple G unearthed.
Mm.
Yeah, 2012, I think.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the best discoveries they found.
Oh, that's great. Well, props to her for creating the music and going to Triple J and upload it.
I think I've got a very great first impression of her. And her soaring vocals, the catchy tunes, and, you know, just pleasant to listen to. And it's danceable, you know, you can dance to it, except Consolation Prize, which is track 6, which is straight up a goosebump-filled type of piano ballad. Ooh. You know.
All right, so a bit slower, but a bit, you know, but still positive vibes. Okay.
Yeah, in the middle of the album.
It's very soulful and relaxing.
That's great you say that, Matt, because I'm thinking it does sort of have that pop vibes in there, but I really love how it's quirky enough to be different, and she uses her voice in interesting ways and takes songs in different directions that you're sitting there and you're not expecting, but then it's a really great surprise as you listen to the full album.
Yeah, I think a lot of the tracks sing along, catchy, present to listen to, and danceable.
Yeah.
You know, and
so one of your favorites, you reckon, from the year so far?
The favorite track?
No. Is it one of your favorite albums this year?
I think so. It's one of my favorites, actually.
Yeah.
Oh. I really like it. And I think it's family friendly. You can just sit down with the family and listen to it, or in a car and everything, you know.
Yeah.
And I think most teenagers will be related to it, you know. It's a type of album you can put in the car, you know, while you are taking your children to school, you know.
All right, well, there you go. If you're a teenager taking your children to school, then
taking your parents to school as well, which would be good.
Oh, yeah, but
all right, let's see what Mac O'Kine gives it.
Matt's dad, Mac O'Kine, gives this week's feature album 4.5 out of 5 stars.
Whoa, 4.5.
Good as it gets, basically, from Mac O'Kine. 4.5 stars for Montaigne's album, Glorious Heights. Beautiful stuff, Mac. We loved your review and so glad you enjoyed it.
I did actually.
Oh, that's good.
I mean, I do actually.
Yeah. Hey, Dad, we have to leave you now, but next time we talk to you, you're not going to be hustling up to the chicken coop in Brisbane. Where are you going to be?
Oh, I think next time you talk to me, I'll be in Paris.
Oh, in Ooh. France. We're going to catch you overseas, so, mate. You're visiting a...
Yeah, but I could also be on a boat between Ale and Switzerland, so I don't know.
So you're going to visit Rachel in Paris, and then you're going on a cruise.
Yeah.
Going to brush up on the French skills before you go, Dad? Have you got any French
I'm
for us?
I'm trying.
Hit us with a sentence.
Comment pas Dieu? Comment pas Dieu?
Do you know that?
How are you going? How go you?
Oui, oui.
Tu vas bien?
And then you're going on a boat, Dad. You're going on a bit of a cruise. Are you going to take the fishing rods?
I'm thinking so, actually. I understand there's a lot of fishing trips you can take on the in France, you know. You can go on the boat in this thing. So, but, I mean, what I'll do is I'll just go on the boat hire type of thing. My final trip is at Poland, where I'm attending the dental conference.
The dental conference.
Polish dental conference.
Yeah,
I know what you're doing, mate. You're just making it all tax deductible, you cheeky thing.
Oh, we found out. All right. Well, hopefully you find a few muddies in those French-Swiss waters back, Okide. And we will talk to you again in a couple of weeks.
Okay, talk to you soon.
Bye.
Tout à l'heure.
All right.
Hope you're well. Matt and Alex are with you. First track you heard was Final song from Denmark.
Yeah, Thursday morning's in treating you too badly. For 418 athletes over 26 sports, it's going to be a pretty big week. The Olympic Games kicking off. Australia sending a large contingent, as usual, to try and bring home a chunk of gold to the coffers here around Australia. So to get a sense as to what's going through the minds, who will be cheering on, we've got a former Olympian in to have a chat about it. It's a very good morning to veteran of the last two Olympic Games in the gymnastics, Ash Brennan. A very good morning to you.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me in.
No, thank you for joining us, and thank you for representing Australia in the last two Olympics. Beijing and London, let us know, put yourself in the position of our current athletes now, one day out from opening. What was going through your head?
One day out from opening, I think that's probably definitely when it starts to feel so real. I'm so envious of everyone in that position at the moment. It's just there's so much hype around that village and so much excitement. So I guess a lot of the athletes at the moment would be trying their best not to get too caught up in all of that and try and just keep everything as normal as possible and stick to their routine and what they know and just go along for the ride and enjoy the experience. It'll be fun.
It's one of those things you need to be in the prime of your athletic life. You need to be, have so much nutrition and particularly a lot of sleep, be well rested, be ready. But with the excitement of heading over to a different country with fireworks at the opening ceremony, how do you go about lying in bed and then just dozing?
Yeah, I think as an athlete, that's probably one of the best things that we do. We love a bit of a nana nap in the afternoon or, getting to bed quite early as there's usually, an early start or a big day ahead, and sleep is so crucial. So for me, I didn't find it too hard unless I was, overthinking everything. But, just trying to get into that routine and relax and, try not to get too caught up, as hard as that is. I mean, I was like in the village and just in awe of everyone and trying to be that person. In that, just playing it cool and not be too overwhelmed by all the superstars around me.
For sure.
I guess you see a lot of the other people you're competing with around the, in the lead up to the events. There's some serious mind games starting to happen. You're seeing the US team at the Coke machine. You're throwing some shade at Sean Johnson. I mean, what happens?
Oh gosh, we'd love to get sort of into that and very that sort of typical, I guess, gymnastics type competitiveness. But it's not like that at all. I think we usually always try and stick to our team and stick together. And I'd always go to lunch and dinner with my teammates and just pretty much stick to ourselves and not get too carried away with what the other teams are doing. That's probably the biggest thing, is just not watching other people too much and just sticking to what you know and and making sure everything goes to plan.
Because as we know, it's not called gymnastics.
That's it. Ash. I was hoping you'd give me a little bit of a reference from Stick It. That's great.
Well, I've never actually watched it. I just remember watching the trailer.
Well, like, I wasn't thinking about gymnastics specifically. I was just thinking about it in general. So, I mean, talk us through that moment when you first get to see where you're going to be performing, whether it be the gymnasium that you're, you know, doing your thing in, or the big Olympic stadium.
Yeah, so I guess stepping out into that arena for the first time, we actually have one sort of practice run on the competition floor, and that's kind of our one time where the judges are there watching and you've kind of got that first opportunity to make a good impression. So that's always really exciting, and it's nice to get a few good routines under your belt before the competition starts. And just get a good feel for it and the surroundings and how big the stadium is. Definitely when you walk in for the competition and there's 20,000 people in the stands, I was trying to find Mum and Dad up there somewhere. But I think, yeah, definitely walking in for the first time for competition, very overwhelming and very I was obviously quite scared, but I think I just had to reassure myself that I had my team with me. I think a lot of people sort of forget that gymnastics is everyone sort of thinks it's quite an individual sport, but in the Olympic Games or any major championships, your team's the main priority. And I was so relieved that I had my team there to sort of support me and keep me calm. But yeah, just the most exciting thing. And I think, you know, going into that arena, you could almost get a little bit carried away and a bit overwhelmed. But I think I just had to think back on that I'd had 14 years of training leading to this moment. So I just sort of had to sit back and let my body do the work and go along for the ride and just enjoy it.
Oh, sensational. We're going to play a song here, a request from yourself, Ash, some Matt Corby. Yep. You got to see him live recently.
I did. He was awesome. I loved it.
Oh, sensational. Well, this is Wrong Man. I want to ask you about the music, because gymnastics being something that incorporates music into the performances as well. So I want to see how you get your playlists going for that one in a moment.
And if you've got any questions for Ash Brennan, an Olympian, someone who's been there before, hit us up, 0439757555.
Her name is Ash Brennan, and she's been to the last two Olympic Games. So on the eve of Rio, we've got her in to get a bit of an insight as to what it is all like. Hello again, Ash.
Hello, guys.
Thank you so much for joining us. Just finding out, you're retired as a gymnast now. What age do you get to before you retire?
Well, I was 21 when I retired, so I was definitely one of the grandmas of the team. Yeah, after London being my second Olympics, I definitely felt I was done after there. But Lauren Mitchell, who's one of my really good friends, she is still going, and she would be she's 25 now.
Oh, shout outs to a big fan of Triple J as well. Met her one time.
Absolutely. So, she's still going. So the age is definitely increasing, and I think experience counts for a lot as well. So that's probably why a lot of the girls are staying on. If their bodies can keep going with it, then why not?
I remember, I always feel like my favourite part about the Olympics would be just receiving that Australian uniform.
Oh, absolutely. Definitely the best part. So we would usually go over, the last two Olympics, we went over with a backpack, that was literally it. And then we got our uniform over there. So you'd come home with two suitcases full of just green and gold. And, I wish I had an acceptable place to wear it now, and I just don't. There's so much green and gold in my wardrobe, but yeah.
One of my favourite things is criticising the uniform, even though I know nothing about fashion. Like, why have they gone with the sunburned oak?
I'd wear any of it. Love it. Pinstripes.
Oh, no good.
No, the pinstripes are amazing. I love the jacket.
I do like this one. Good to see them come out into the stadium for the Australian team. Always at the start, it's better, because usually you can go to bed earlier after Australia comes out, which is nice.
Absolutely.
I remember Sydney waiting, because the host country comes out at the end, waiting so long to see Australia walk out.
Well, actually, that makes me wonder, when were your events? Were you on early in the Olympics or later?
Yep, so gymnastics is on in the first week, I think the men usually compete the first day and the women on the second day. So unfortunately, I haven't been to an opening ceremony, but at the same time, it's something that we discussed as a team, and we decided, you know, our performance and our competition was our priority, and having fresh legs was definitely important. So we hung back at the village, or we'd go and we'd get dressed up in our opening ceremony uniform and have photos with everyone. And then we'd sort of hang back at the village with the swimmers and divers and other athletes competing in that first week that might not go and do the opening ceremony. So as incredible as it would be, the opening ceremony, but as incredible as it would be to be there, I think the closing ceremony is the biggest party on the planet, and that was pretty fun.
For sure. Well, going to college around exam time, I know the people who finish exams earlier would often get pulled up for noise complaints for the people who are still studying. Do things get, you know, as the couple of weeks progress, do people start getting a bit rowdy around the village?
Oh, definitely a little bit rowdy around there. I think, yeah, we finish in the first week. The gymnasts are always pretty well behaved, I'll have to admit. But the McDonald's in the dining hall got a good workout once we'd finished. And so that was fun. But more just being able to go and support other athletes and watch other sports and really get into that Aussie spirit is just so much fun.
Well, speaking of the food in the village, Alex from Melbourne's got a question about that. What is it, Alex?
Yeah, hey guys. First of all, I guess congratulations on all your achievements, but I just wanted to know, inside the village, what do you guys eat? I mean, is there literally vending machines with, like, I guess, soft drink in there, or is you guys have your own lunches all prepared for you? Or, because obviously you'd probably still be, like, I guess a big part of it would be diet, because you can't just have a blowout before compete.
Yeah, absolutely, Alex. I think, and going into the village, that's probably the most overwhelming thing. There are vending machines with Powerade and, you know, any sort of drink that you want, water, and you just have a barcode and it will come out. Like, you don't
straight
have to pay
to the
Aussie
bill. Love it.
And then the dining hall, literally every type of food you could think of, every cuisine, just to, you know, suit everyone. And then right up the back, a McDonald's. So us gymnasts, you know, trying to just keep everything quite normal and fueling our bodies for performance was really important. And then I guess once we'd finished competing, we'd spoil ourselves a little bit. Which is
all right. Well, thank you very much, Ash, for that one, Alex. Also, lots of questions coming in. The Olympic Tinder game, what is going on? Is it as debaucherous as it sounds?
Oh, I reckon it would be. But when I went, there was no Tinder. Even Instagram wasn't even that big back 4 years ago. So I can imagine it would be, it'd be interesting.
Well, I think at the Winter Games, I think, what was it, Sochi recently, 2014, I think it was an American snowboarder was saying how Tinder was going off at the particular game. So it could be quite interesting. Was it like high school where people were approaching other countries and chatting to them? Did people come up to you at all, Alex?
I don't know. I think I was just trying to be, you know, focused on what I was doing. But afterwards, I'm sure there was a lot of that going on for sure. Would be funny.
And so when you finish, like, you know, you said second day, do you just stay in the country for the next 2 weeks and party with everyone, or do you have to kind of, you know, get on a plane and get the hell out of there to make way for the next athlete?
So we, our competition started on the second day, and then the gymnastics actually goes for about a week. So then there's team finals, there's all around finals, apparatus finals. So it is quite a drawn out week, and, you know, quite full on and exhausting. And then after that first week, it's really nice. We can just chill out and enjoy village life and do all the things and go and support all the athletes, enjoy the closing ceremony, and then fly back with the team on the team charter. So that was really cool. All the medalists up in, you know, first class.
Turn it up!
I know. And then I was down the back of the plane. But it was so much fun. It was awesome.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Ash Brennan, for coming and hanging out with us. I look forward to watching the gymnastics, which is one of my favourite events to watch. It's just
awesome.
Incredible.
Thanks.
What people are able to do. So we appreciate you coming in. We'll chat to you again soon.
Thanks so much, guys. So nice to talk to you.
Bye.
Breakfast with Matt and Alex on Triple J.